This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Fall's here, and so are incredible sales at Tanger Outlets. Find must-have handbags, footwear, and all the latest fall arrivals, all at unbeatable savings. Shop top brands like Nike Factory, Crocs, J. Crew Factory, Coach, Gap Factory, Old Navy Outlet, Under Armour, and even more brands you love. Save more every time you shop with deals up to 70% off. Tanger Outlets, always on trend, always on sale. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Marigold Standard. This is the podcast. We talk all things about the brand new, fantastic professional wrestling company that is Dream Star Fighting Marigold. Folks, I'm your host for this episode. My name is Matt Turner, and we're going to be doing this episode solo. Just going to be myself, me, Matt Turner, and you, the fantastic listeners of the Marigold Standard, as Rob Goodwin is getting ready for a wedding this weekend. And as well, folks, it is tournament season. Yes, sir, indeed. It is tournament season, and Rob is very, very busy getting things ready to rock and roll for next week, the start of Stardom's five-star Grand Prix. So I figured we would just do this episode solo. Folks, before we jump into it, I hope everybody's having a great day today. Hope you're better today than you were yesterday. I hope you're better this week than you were last week. I hope you're better this month than you were last month, because that's what life is all about, folks. It's all about self-improvement. On this episode, we're going to be reviewing not one, but two fantastic shows from our friends over at the Marigold Professional Wrestling Company. The show from the 21st of July, and that show just this past Tuesday from Cork and Hall, where we crowned our first ever Twin Star Tag Team Champions in what was an absolutely fantastic professional wrestling show, folks. And if you have listened to, if you know anything about myself, one Matt Turner, you know I'm a huge fan of tag team wrestling, because tag team wrestling is so hard to do right, but when it's done right, it's absolute poetry. It's perfections. It's pure pro wrestling. And let me tell you something. It just seems like the Joshi style scene really, really has tag team wrestling down this last 8 to 10 months. We talk all the time on the Stardom Cast how loaded their tag division is with FWC, with Crazy Star, Wingory, O2 Line. I can go on and on and on. But let me tell you something, folks. Marigold's no slouch either, and they really proved that in that Cork and Hall show. I just watched it just yesterday. I just finished the show. It took me a couple days to finish it just because of how busy I am with everything. So I just finished it just the other day. Figured, let me record this while the show is fresh in my mind. And I was so hyped watching that show. Just a great, great show. And I'm going to say right at the beginning of this podcast, because I'm going to say it about 10 times during the show, that one of my new favorite tag teams in all of professional wrestling is the team of Natsumi Shoazaki and Miko Anno. Obviously, I'm a fan of those two wrestlers as individuals, the pure white belt champion in Miko Anno, and then the Superfly champion in one, Natsumi Shoazaki. But the two of them together as a pairing, mwah, chef's kiss, one of my new favorite tag teams in all of pro wrestling. I thought they were absolutely terrific. Absolutely terrific. As well as our friends Stu Fulton and Sonny Gutierrez on commentary. They added so much more to that show. Especially dropping some Masahiro Chono lines. One of my favorite wrestlers to watch once I got into tape trading back in 1996, 1997. He was one of my go-to pro wrestlers. So it's always nice when you hear the name of one of your childhood heroes announced on current day wrestling. So yeah, folks, so this is going to be a fun episode. This is, again, Rob is just insanely too busy. I told him, buddy, just relax. Do what you need to do. You're busy. I will take care of the Marigold Standard and a couple other things over at the Stardom Cast. Because, yeah, we are busy. We are busy. We got a lot of really cool things in the pipeline from August all the way until the end of the year. And then who knows what 2025 will bring for us here on the Marigold Standard. But, folks, without any further ado, as I don't know if you can hear the motorcycle going by, I got the windows open, folks. It's 94 degrees here. We thought that we were done with this heat wave we've had here in northeastern Pennsylvania. But I got the windows open here in the podcast room, which we're trying to get finished here, folks. We're trying to get finished, maybe as a YouTube special. I'll do a little tour of the fancy podcast room that my wife put together. I can't say I did much to put it together. I literally just gave her stuff and got out of her way. My wife really should have been an interior design decorator. But without any further ado, folks, usually this is the part where we do the news. There's really not too much news, as myself and Rob covered a good amount of the news on the Stardom Cast just earlier this week. And if you have not got a chance to listen to that episode, it was our most requested episode. People wanted us to get that episode out early. We did, because of the big angle coming off at the the big Micah versus Natsukatora match. But we did talk quite a bit about what's going on in current day Marigold Wrestling, especially with the fact that Julia did announce that she would be leaving Marigold to go to NXT, which is something we knew about, back in the winter months here earlier in the year. So we know that it looks like Julia is going to be going over to NXT sometime by the end of August. And from what we understand is that, I know it's been reported, from Big Dave over at the Wrestling Observer, that it looks like she's going to probably come back to Japan maybe once every 2 to 3 big shows. I know Rossi said he wants to do maybe 4 or 5 pay-per-views a year, once a quarter, which to me that always makes it feel special. Again, growing up in the WWE, I grew up watching the WWF, growing up in the 80s and the 90s in the Northeast. You'd have your 4 big pay-per-views, your Royal Rumbles, your WrestleMania, your SummerSlam, and your Survivor Series. So it always just made it feel so much bigger. And if that's what Rossi's going to do, at least to start out, I think that's just going to make these quarterly shows mean so much bigger. And the fact that we can maybe get a Julian from time to time, a Julia in from time to time, and then maybe an EO from time to time, or a Kyrie from from time to time. I think that's really, really good, and really good on the folks over at the Marigold Wrestling to do something super, super cool like that. So we know that she has her final five, and she's ending against one Mai Sakurai. And if you would have told me a month ago, 6 weeks ago, that her final match before going over to WWE would be against Mai Sakurai, I'd kind of be scratching my head a little. Be like, really? But the fact that Mai Sakurai's just been unbelievable. She's been, obviously they have that DDM chemistry. Her, Julia Sakurai and Tekla, they were the Artists of Stardom champions for DDM. At the beginning of the year, they dropped those belts actually at the beginning of the year. So they were champions for a handful of months. So, and again, the fact that, Mai Sakurai, I mean, you can put up there with Zena as one of the most improved wrestlers in all of wrestling. The fact that, and again, kudos to our good friend Sonny and Stu Fulton. They did a great job on commentary where they talked about how Masahiro Chono's taking time out of his schedule to teach Mai Sakurai the ways of the STF. And apparently the running Yakuza kick, because we've been seeing Sakurai use the running Yakuza kick for the last 2 years or so, but it seems like she's putting a little extra stank on it, and nobody knows that move better than one Masahiro Chono, absolutely legend in the world of professional wrestling. So I think that's pretty cool. I think that's a really, really big feather in the cap, pun intended, for one Mai Sakurai getting Julia's last match in Japan, at least for now, before she goes over to the WWE and makes a huge star of herself, because we know it's only going to be a matter of time before that happens. We know that Roxanne Perez has been on NXT TV, I think, two out of the last 3 weeks, mentioning not only Julia, but one Stephanie Vacker. So if you folks demand it, maybe we'll do a Julia and Steph Vacker watch on NXT over for the Marigold Standard, very much how we do the Io and Kairi watch for the Stardom cast. What do you think, folks? What do you think? Let me know. Let me know what you think. So I think that's, and again, this was really genius booking by the Hatman one, Mr. Rossi Ogawa, considering the fact, and we'll get into the show, considering the fact that Mai Sakurai on the show was probably the MVP of this entire show, considering the fact you had Julie on it, you had Sari on it, you had Miko Ano on it, Mirai, obviously your tag partner on it, that she might have came out of this show as the MVP. So, and then you end it with, spoilers, obviously, Mirai and Mai Sakurai do come out as the Twin Star Tag Team Champions. And then, at the very end, then Julia comes out and says, my final opponent's going to be you. And we're going to do it right here at Corican Hall. Genius booking. You're in Corican Hall. If you say any other venue in the world, they're going to boo. You're right there in Corican Hall. We may as well do it right here in Corican Hall. Big pop. You've already sold tickets for the next show. It's simple, simple booking. Great job by Julia on the promo. Good job on Mai Sakurai for the facial expressions and being probably the MVP of this amazing Corican Hall show. And good job on the Stardom Booking Committee, able to put all the pieces together, folks. Again, wrestling doesn't have to be that complicated. Don't overcomplicate things. Don't overcomplicate things. Really, the only other news to kind of come out over the past few days was that Sari got injured in that tag match with her and Julia against Victoria Azuki and Kazuna Tanaka. Again, Kazuna Tanaka is like my new favorite new wrestler. She's terrific. But it looked like it was almost the same wrist injury that Julia had. And you can see Sari, when the injury happened, she rolled out of the ring, she taped her wrist up, and like a boss, like a badass that she is, came back into the match and was able to finish the match. And I think Julia even gifted her the same wrist support holder that she had to help her out there. So I thought that was really, really cool. Okay, folks, I guess without any further ado, and this one probably very much like when I did that little bite-sized Marigold episode not that long ago, this one is probably not going to go too long as well, because, again, it's just me. There's not too much news coming out of Marigold that we didn't already cover on the Stardom cast, that we already talked about, myself and Rob already talked about with the Dream Star Grand Prix that's happening at the end of August. So again, the five-star Grand Prix, if you're like myself and Rob and about 90% of the Joshi watchers, where we do watch Marigold and Stardom, because tribalism is dead, folks. You don't have to pick and choose. You can if you want to, but you don't have to pick and choose. You can watch it all. So this is going to be awesome that we are going right from the five-star Grand Prix, and when that stops, when it finishes, we're going to go right into this tournament season for our friends over at the at Pro Wrestling Marigold. Dreamstar Fighting Marigold. So, excellent, excellent stuff. So, again, we review these two shows. And shout out to my man, Darren Chatton, because literally, as always, I wasn't, myself and Rob were supposed to record today. Again, Rob was just way too busy. I said, brother, relax. I got you. Calm down. I got you. Do what you need to do. I'll take care of it. And then I thought, I don't have the attendance numbers. DM my man, Darren, 45, 50 seconds later, DM me right back with the numbers, because I am a numbers person, because that's how you know what's working and what's not. Wrestling's subjective. Certain things are subjective. But the numbers don't lie, my friends. The numbers don't lie. So we go to, and again, Darren, you're the man. Thanks. Greatly appreciate you, brother. We go to the 21st of July. Stardom Gold Shine. 472 people. What I'll do is I'll read the results, and then I'll go through each match. The opening match saw Misa Matsui defeat Zeta Steel with the Maui Maui Plex. Match number two saw the tag team of the Twin Towers of Chika Goto, Koki Amare, defeat the team of Bozilla and Myra Grace. Match number three saw Chiaka and Nagisa Nozaki defeat Ryo Sato and Komomo Manami. Match number four, we go to the Twin Stars Tournament quarterfinals as my new favorite tag team in all of wrestling, Natsumi Shozuki and Miko Ano, the team of the Pure White Belt Champion and the Superfly Champion, defeating the all-rookie but all-fantastic team of Victoria Yuzuki and Kazuna Tanaka. Match number five and our main event saw basically an all kind of stardom matchup here, as we had the team of Utami Hayashista and Mirai, former World of Stardom champion, former Wonder of Stardom champion, defeating Julia and Mai Sakurai. So a little DD, oh my Julia, a little maybe for the final time? Just about, right? Just about. Okay, let's go through. Again, this is going to be a short episode, folks, so we're going to go through each match. I'm going to break it down and give my star rating. We go with Misa Matsui and the ever-improving Zeta Steel. And again, I think it's heavily rumored that Zeta Steel and Myla Grace, I think their contracts are coming up sometime soon. Their tours are coming up sometime soon. I'm not exactly sure when, but I hope they get extended. I hope that they come back, because these two have grown so much, so much. These two are absolutely fantastic, and Zeta Steel was terrific here. We get some wrist lock exchanges to start. Misa hits a high cross body for a two count. We get a form exchange between the two. Zeta Steel then locks in a cross flip, cross face. Misa Matsui then locks in a stretch muffler. Misa hits a regal plex for a two count. I like how she's adding that into her arsenal. Nice snap on that, on the regal plex. Zeta Steel is able to fight back, showing that fighting spirit with a big enziguri. And then a TKO for a two count. Misa Matsui comes back with a dropkick for a two count and then hits the Maui Maui Plex for the three count. Solid, solid opener. 3.25 stars. And folks, if you're new to these solo podcasts that I do, I just kind of just go through the highlights. I'm not going to go through lockup, headlock, drop down, tackle, hip toss. I'm just kind of just going through the certain parts of the match, like the highlights of the match. We go to match number two, which again saw the team of the Tokyo Towers of Chika Goto and Koki Amare taking on the team of the monster Bozilla and the ever-improving and super entertaining Myla Grace. We have Myla Grace and Koki Amare off to a fast start. Maybe we want to put them in the Superfly division there, because they showed that they can work that style. Chika Goto is able to get the first big advantage with the match using her size and strength, and then is able to swing Myla Grace in the giant swing. Bozilla comes in and does what she does best, and that's just dominate and kick ass, because she is a dominant ass kicker. Bozilla hits a sit-out DVD and then the giant swing to Chika Goto. Goto is able to fire back with some forearms. Bozilla dominates Koki Amare. Amare and Myla Grace, they wind up having a forearm trade-off. Myla Grace hits her signature top rope Thez press for a two count. Koki Amare is able to come back with a dominator, shouts out Ron Simmons, for a two count. Amare goes the top rope, however, Bozilla cuts her off, hits a superplex to the Amorphist butterfly on Koki Amare. Bozilla and Myla Grace, they're not getting along here at all. They get shoving, they're yelling. Might not be the best thing for Myla Grace to get in Bozilla's face, but you gotta appreciate the spunk that is Myla Grace. Tokyo Towers hit their double gorilla press to Myla Grace. And by mean double gorilla press is Koki Amori is on one side of her opponent, Chika Goto's on the other side of the opponent, basically the shoulders and the knees. They pick their opponent up, and their opponent takes a face bump from like 6.5-7 feet up in the air. And folks, let me tell you something. When I went to wrestling school, I had no problem with the bumps. No problem running the ropes. I hated face bumps. Because if you hit at a certain time wrong, you jar your neck, you can bust your nose open. That's why if anybody has ever seen pictures of me, one of the reasons why I have a crooked nose. That and I like hard-hitting wrestling. But that's neither here nor there. So for Myla Grace to take, or any really opponent that's been wrestling the Tokyo Towers, to take this bump, kudos to them. Because face bumps, especially from that height, are really, really tricky. So God bless them on there. But eventually, that leads to Koki Amore hitting the Amorphous Butterfly Splash for the 3 count on Myla Grace. I had that one at 3.25 stars. Match number 3 has the big heel tag team of Nagisa, Nozaki, and Chiaka taking on the all-rookie team of Rita Saito and Koko Maname. We get Chiaki and Nozaki. They're bullies here, as well as they should. I mean, they just overpower. They taunt. They're just being boo heels. Heels in a good way. You know, boo, not go away heat, which we talked about a couple days ago. Anywho, Chiaki boot scrapes to Maname. Maname fires back. Maname is really showing, again, the fact that she's only been wrestling a few months, like that fighting spirit that is so lauded and loved in Japan, especially from an underneath baby face, especially on a jerk heel. And by jerk heel, I mean that in the nicest way. That's a good thing, in case Chiaki's listening. I don't want her to come over and give me the iron claw, brother. But no, I really, really like that. Maname then uses her really great judo skills and puts an armbar onto Chiaki. And then Rhea Saito, she comes in, shouts out to the American Dragon, Brian Danielson, with the cata mutilation. I really like that. Chiaki hits the Moonwolf for a 2 count. Nozaki comes in. She's all sorts of P and V with boots and foot scrapes, or forearms. And then she uses a chair shot to Rhea that then allows a fisherman suplex from Chiaki, pinning on Rhea Saito for the 3 count. This was 3 stars. Simple, easy story to tell. You're just kind of getting your heel team over. But I like this rookie team of Rhea Saito and Komomo Manami. I think they're really, again, if they're going to put some emphasis on the tag division, even though I obviously know the tournament's over, which they should put the emphasis on the tag division, because the tag division in Marigold is absolutely fantastic. And again, we're getting into this Cork and Hall show. I really like this team. I really like this team. Speaking of teams I really, really like, especially young wrestlers, Kazuna Tanaka, Victoria Yuzuki, boy howdy, we're going to talk a lot about them on this show today, because not only they're great here, they're great in the Cork and Hall show. I'm sure that if you listen to this podcast, that Cork and Hall show was just a couple days ago, so that match with Julian Sari is probably fresh in your minds. Again, they are taking on my new favorite tag team of Natsumi Shozuki and Miko Ano. Natsumi and Yuzuki, but they start off with a very much like a high-speed style match, some fast 2 counts back and forth. Vittoria Yuzuki and Natsumi Shozuki trade some really, really good arm drags. And folks, let me tell you something. One of the hardest things in this world to do is be a pro wrestler, because there's nothing in the gym, there's no drills on the football field or the soccer field that can prepare you for the cardio and the breathing of pro wrestling, because the up, down, taking a bump, making sure your stuff looks good, making sure you're being protective of not only yourself, but your partner. So let me tell you something. Big kudos to Victoria Yuzuki and Natsumi Shozuki, because with their fast start and then the arm drags, even though it's only like 30, 40, 50 seconds, give or take, takes a lot out of you. Takes a lot out of you. Seriously, run in place as fast as you can while you're trying to like talk for like 45 seconds. Let me know how you feel. Natsumi and Miko, then they take turns kicking poor Kazuna Tanaka. I guess basically they were watching tapes of her dad, Minoru Tanaka, with those kicks, because they basically just take turns kicking one Kazuna Tanaka here back and forth. Tanaka is able to come back with an armbar onto Shozaki. Tanaka puts an Tanaka has the armbar on Natsumi Shozuki. Shozuki is able then to reverse and get the armbar on Tanaka. So I like that. You're kind of playing a little catch wrestling here. It's like, I got the armbar on you. However, let me try to get wrist control and then switch back into an armbar reversal. I really like that. I thought that was really, really cool. Natsumi Shozuki hits one of my new favorite moves in all of wrestling, that slingshot knees to Kazuna Tanaka that scores her a two count. Miko Ano is able to lock in a knee bar then onto Kazuna Tanaka. Yuzuki then gets a hot tag. She comes in all fired up. I really like her fire. I like how, again, if these two are going to be a consistent tag team, which it looks like that's the way they're going to be, and I'm all for it. I liked with Kazuna Tanaka being the seller and the hot tag going to Victoria Yuzuki, because Tanaka has really good facial expressions when it comes to the selling, and then is able to fire off a little bit of shine. Like, she's able to get a little bit of shine by throwing, by firing back, and then getting the hot tag to Yuzuki, because then when Yuzuki comes in for these hot tags, she comes in on fire, which is what the crowd wants to see. And Yuzuki comes off, she just fires up drop kicks to anybody in sight. Anybody in sight. She's firing off these excellent drop kicks. And then the drop kicks eventually go to basement drop kicks. Makes sense. Everybody's bumping. They're trying to get to the ropes to kind of catch their breath. But Victoria Yuzuki's like, not on my watch, girls. And then just fires off those basement-style drop kicks. I really like that. And then Kazuna Tanaka comes in. She's able to kind of get a little bit of a breather. We get some great kick combination, double team moves from Tanaka and Victoria Yuzuki. I thought that was awesome. I thought that was terrific. Yuzuki then is able to use some judo throws. She used the judo throws into the rolling elbow. However, Miko Ano is able to come back with some thunderous strikes. Natsumi Shozuki, going a little too fast here, folks, is able then to kind of isolate one Victoria Yuzuki here, and then eventually Miko Ano is able to get the Styles Clash onto Kazuna Tanaka for the three count. This was terrific. This was great. 4 stars for me. I'd love to see this match run back 2 or 3 more times, because I would not get sick of it. Matter of fact, let's do the baby 2 out of 3 falls. That was great. I thought that was great. Again, 4 stars for me. We go to the main event as Utami Hayashista and Mirai taking on the team of Oh My Julia, Julia and Mai Sakurai. And let's just talk about how decorated all these wrestlers are. Mirai, former Wonder of Stardom champion, former 2-time winner of the Cinderella tournament, former Goddess of Stardom champion, former Artist of Stardom champion. Utami Hayashista, one of the greatest World of Stardom champions in the 13-year history of Stardom, former winner of the 5-Star Grand Prix, former Artist of Stardom champion, former Goddess of Stardom champion. So a lot of decoration there. We go over to Mai Sakurai. Spoilers, folks. The first ever Twin Stars Tag Team Champions here in Marigold. Finalist of the 2023 Cinderella Tournament. Former Artist of Stardom Champion. Julia, one of only 3 wrestlers to win not only the Cinderella Tournament and the 5-Star Grand Prix. Quick trivia, who are the other 2 wrestlers? If you guessed Mayu Iwatani and Toni Storm, you would be right. Crazy, right? Only 3 wrestlers have ever won both tournaments. I really thought it would have been Sai Kamatani this year. Maybe, still can. Anywho, another story for another day. Former Wonder of Stardom champion, of course, former World of Stardom champion, former Goddess of Stardom champion, and former Artist of Stardom champion, of course, with one, Mai Sakurai. So really good. We had a really good co-main event here. Match number 4, and we're already setting the table here. What's going to be a great match here in the main event. Folks, if you've seen this match, and if you heard me podcast before, you know what I'm going to put over first. Big lockup with Utami and Julia, making us think we never got that big match. Again, maybe when Julia does her 2 to 3 shows a year for Marigold, maybe show the very first one to be her and Utami, because, again, that is very much a dream match. Mai Sakurai comes in here and she puts Mirai and Utami Hayashista both in the paradise lock. I really like that. I like that. Julia hits a shotgun dropkick to Utami Hayashista. We get a great forearm trade off with Julia and Utami. Utami fires back with a German suplex, and then Julia returns favor with a German suplex of her own. Then we get a brutal form exchange with Julia and Mirai, with Julia getting the better of Mirai on the form exchange. Just drops Mirai with the form exchange and then follows up with that snap backdrop suplex that scores Julia a two count. Mai Sakurai is able to come in, and we see the influence of one Masahiro Chono early on here as she hits a pair of running Yakuza kicks on Mirai that scores her a two count. We get another forearm trade-off, and I never get sick of these, especially when they're done right, with Mirai and Mai Sakurai. A little harkening back to their finals of the Cinderella tournament last year. Utami Hayashista, she has a top rope brawl going on with Mai Sakurai. She goes for the top rope air raid crash, but then Julia comes behind Utami, powerbombs Utami off the top rope, thus basically kind of putting some damage both on Utami Hayashista and Mai Sakurai. Hey, sometimes you need victory through self-destruction. Reminds me of that ECW Jerry Lynn shirt that I had back in high school. Anywho, Utami Hayashista and Mirai lariat sandwich to Mai Sakurai. Mirai then hits a lariat to Mai Sakurai for a two count. Mai Sakurai comes back and hits a crucifix bomb to Mirai that scores her a two count. Mai Sakurai escapes the Mirai shock and trips up Mirai with a Mai pan roll for a 2.9. A lot of people, including me, bid on that falsy. Great job, Mai Sakurai. Mirai then is able to come back to hit the Mirai shock onto Mai Sakurai for a two count. However, Utami Hayashista is able to isolate Julia long enough for Mirai to go off the ropes to hit a thunderous lariat onto Mai Sakurai for the three count. 4.25 stars for me, and a great way to end, which was a absolutely great show. Folks, we then go to Korakuen Hall. The wonderful Korakuen Hall. This show was on Tuesday the 30th. So again, the show from the week prior was on delay because outside of Tokyo, so took a couple days to get up. But obviously, we will always cover every single Marigold show and every single Marigold match. Pardon me, need a little bit of drink there. Okay, 30th of August, Korakuen Hall, Summer Gold Shine, the semifinals and the finals to crown the first ever tag team champions, the Twin Star Champions. 818 people filled Korakuen Hall on a Tuesday. Great number for Marigold on a Tuesday. And again, the week before was Stardom, and they did 1,000 people on a Tuesday. So again, Tuesday, really not the ideal days for wrestling, but we had almost 1,900 people turn out for the two companies that we love so much in Stardom and Marigold. So kudos to the Joshi style of pro wrestling. No matter what day you're drawing on, you have something that the people want to see, they will see it. And 818 people saw, which was a fantastic show, folks.
This episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? Maybe you've set aside some time away from social media every day. Maybe you find the time to put on your favorite Mayu Iwatani match. Maybe you never skip leg day or therapy day. When your schedule is packed like Ryo Goku with kids' activities, big work projects and more, it's easy to let your priorities slip. Even when we know what makes us happy, it's hard to make time for it. But when you feel like you have no time for yourself, non-negotiables like therapy are more important than ever. It's so important to make time for yourself, even when life can get so hectic. Therapy is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to become the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's a service that is entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/stardom today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/stardom. And now back to today's episode.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And again, I mentioned this before, and this is your first time listening to me, welcome. I hope that you're enjoying the show, but if you've heard me do some podcasting before, just talking about wrestling, I watch as much wrestling as I humanly can, just because how much I love the sport. Obviously, Marigold and Stardom, that's my bread and butter. I'm going to watch every match, I'm going to note every match, I'm going to rate every match, and then podcast about every match. I grew up northeastern Pennsylvania in the 80s. WWF was my lifeblood. I'm very loyal to the WWF product, good, bad, or indifferent. So I do watch as much WWE as I can. AEW is my favorite wrestling promotion in North America for a lot of reasons. One, I love the wrestling. I absolutely just love the in-ring product. Two, I have friends of mine that both work behind the camera and in front of the camera. So I'm always going to support that. With that being said, with all the wrestling that I watch, we are 7 months into this fantastic year. That is 2024. As far as wrestling goes, pure wrestling from start to finish, this show that I'm about to review in Corican Hall was probably in my top 12 or 15 favorite shows of the entire year. That's all the AEW pay-per-views, WWE pay-per-views, Raw, SmackDowns, Dynamites, Collision, Stardom shows, Marigold shows. I got to see a handful of Noah shows. I got to see a handful of the New Japan shows. I gotta tell you, I think this is like 12, 13, 14, something like that, as far as pure wrestling goes. And it's because of how great the tag wrestling is. Folks, let me tell you, tag wrestling is hard. Because one or two things go wrong, the domino effect could occur, and then the whole match is just trashed. But when you can get it right, just right, you have four wrestlers, two teams, one match, to get that over, the way that all these tag matches got over, mwah, chef's kiss. To the fantastic people over at Marigold and the fantastic wrestlers, because this was absolutely terrific. Match number one, and this might be the only negative thing that I will say for the entire show, with now Ishikawa and Rhea Saito, these two just didn't gel. These two, just, I'm going to go through, yeah, let's just go through everything how I usually do. So Rhea Saito is able to defeat now Ishikawa with a roll-up. You go to match number two, is Zeta Steel and Myla Grace. It was able to get their first wins as a team, defeating Misa Matsui and Kimono Minami, when Myla Grace pins Kimono Minami with that spinning reverse DDT that she does. Match number three, the semifinals of the Twin Star Tag Team Tournament, saw Mirai and Mei Sakurai defeat the evil heel duo of Chiaki and Nagisa Nozaki when Mei Sakurai uses a stiff boot and a great STF locked into Chiaki for the tap out. Where have I seen that before in the 90s? I absolutely love it. I absolutely love it. Match. So that basically sends me, Ryan, my Sakurai, to the finals. We then find out who they will wrestle, because we have the other bracket, the other semifinals of the Twin Star Tournament. Chikagoto and Kokiyamare taking on Miko Ano and Natsumi Shibazaki, with Miko Ano and Natsumi Shibazaki getting the win with a buzzsaw kick, with Ano hits a buzzsaw kick onto Chikagoto for the three count. Match number five saw a passion injection match with Bozilla choking out Nanai Takahashi with a sleeper hold. Match number six saw the all-ace team of Sari and Julia defeating Victoria Yuzuki and Kazuna Tanaka when both Sari and Julia hit their big, big moves on the end to the two rookies, meaning the Exploder and the Northern Lights Bomb. Match number seven, the main event, saw Mirai, Mei Sakurai, get the big win over Miko Ano and Natsumi Shozuki. No two belts for Ano and Shozuki, as Mirai and Mei Sakurai were then crowned the first ever Marigold Tag Team Champions, when it was Mirai hitting a thunderous lariat onto Miko Ano for the three count. Mirai finally getting a three count win over Miko Ano. And before I forget, and I did not note this, I'm just remembering this right now, because again, I just finished the show yesterday. Kudos to Stuhl Fulton on the call, because after the three count, and this was great. This was great. They should say this every time Mirai wins a big match with a lariat. Stu Fulton says, she released the Kraken with that lariat. I thought that was fantastic. That was terrific. A little kin to some mythology here with the Kraken. You know, release the Kraken. Really, really, that was an awesome call. Awesome call. What a great way to put over Mirai's lariat. I always call it like the thunderous lariat, or, you know, or the layering out your soul, but releasing the Kraken on that lariat. Oh, kudos. All right. Let's get into the show, folks. Again, Naomi Shikara and Rhea Saito, they just didn't seem to click. I don't have too many notes here, and I'm not going to harp on it. And I'm a huge fan of Naomi Shikara. Obviously, she's got a big match coming up soon. Rhea Saito, she's somebody that, on only the handful of matches I've seen, she's impressed me. Again, she uses Bryan Danielson's cattle mutilation. I mean, one of the most loved pro wrestlers of the last 25, 30 years. So it's like, how can you go against it? These two, they just seem to have a little off. Maybe they just don't have chemistry together, or they didn't have chemistry together this night. It was 3 stars. Gentlemen's 3 stars, and that's it. I know how great both wrestlers are. We go to match number 2, Zeta Steel and Miley Grace against Misa Matsui and Kamomo Monami. Misa and Miley Grace, they trade fast falls off to start. Obviously, Misa is the, basically the backbone, even though she's not the champion yet. I think she'll eventually get there of the Superfly division. So, Monami uses a Casadora into an armbar into Zeta Steel. I really like that. A little lucha influence from the rookie. Zeta Steel hits a Yakuza kick to Misa. We get some great teamwork, finally, from Zeta Steel and Miley Grace. See, I knew they had that in them. Miley goes to the Border City Stretch again, and I really want to interview Miley Grace, because the way she gets into this Border City Stretch, it's very much like how Alex Shelley used to do it, like set it up and the mechanics of it like 20 years ago. So I wonder if she's been watching the tapes. Well, nobody watches tapes anymore, Matt. She's watching the DVDs or the YouTube videos of Alex Shelley, or if Alex Shelley is somebody maybe she did seminars with, picked the brain with, because of as I'm waiting for, I think it's an 18-wheeler. I live in the middle of nowhere. What's with all this traffic? Anywho, Alex Shelley is somebody that, and I mentioned this on this show last week or the week before, is that Alex Shelley, I've been on a bunch of shows with Alex Shelley. You can ask him anything, and he will help you out as much as humanly possible. One of the nicest guys in pro wrestling I ever met. So I wonder if Alex Shelley basically gave her some tips how to use the Border City Stretch. But I love the way that Miley Grace uses it. Misa locks Miley in a stretch muffler. Miley goes back to the Border City Stretch. And then she's able to transition that into the Golden Gate Swing. That scores her a 2 count. Kamomo Monami comes in. Her and Miley trade several near falls back and forth. Miley hits a Mijinoka driver onto Kamomo for a 2 count. And then is able to use that spinning reverse DDT for the 2 count, or for for the 3 count over Kamomo Monami, getting Miley Grace and Zeta Steel their first win as a tag team. 3.5 stars, excellent stuff here. And I think Miley has another reason why I need to interview Miley Grace. I know she's got a cool name for that move, and I just don't know what it is. Again, hey, if she tells me what it is, I'll remember it forever, right? You know that old saying, if you show a man how to fish, he'll eat for a day. Teach a man how to fish, he'll eat forever. So, and I live by that. Okay, we go to match number 3. The tag tournament rolls on. Twin Star Tag Team Tournament semifinals. Mai Sakurai, taking on Nagisa Nozaki and the Master of the Claw Hold over here in Joshi, Japan, which I love. Love. Anytime we can do something with the Von Erichs, I absolutely love it. In Chiaki. We get some solid wrestling to start this match, but eventually it leads into the Cork and Hall style brawl, folks. And that won't be the only time we see this brawl on this show. We get some heat on Mai Sakurai. The crowd is hot. The crowd is hot for Mai Sakurai. Eventually, though, Mirai comes in. She comes in hot, but then Nozaki cuts her off. Mai Sakurai and Nozaki, they come into the ring. They exchange some stiff boots back and forth. Chiaki then locks Mai Sakurai in the Iron Claw. Mai Sakurai is able to come back with some forearms, some kicks, and the Showstopper, and then she locks in the STF. And we've seen Sakurai use the STF a time or two, but the way that she uses it now, where she gets deeper into the opponent's knee, and again, Sonny and Stu, great job calling, saying She has learned this from Masahiro Chono, basically. And just to give you an idea, the STF, from what I understand, because I know they teach this in catch wrestling, the STF, as far as pro wrestling goes, was invented by Lou Thesz. Again, as far as pro wrestling goes, I'm sure somebody over there in Wigan, England, or Tokyo, Japan, invented it in the 1800s. But as far as the lineage goes, and I could be wrong, was invented by Lou Thesz, and then Lou Thesz's last match in pro wrestling was against Masahiro Chono, and he passed on the STF to Masahiro Chono. It stands for a step over through crossface, but Masahiro Chono then said it stands for submission through fear. So I like that. So again, you're literally taking a move that Lou Thesz taught to Masahiro Chono that Masahiro Chono is now teaching to Mai Sakurai. So again, folks, we're getting teachings of Lou Thesz to Mai Sakurai. That's amazing. I don't know if she knows that. Somebody tip her off that she's literally being taught the move that was taught to her by Lou freaking Thesz. Absolutely amazing. Anywho, Mai Sakurai with a running boot and a shining black. Again, Masahiro Chono moves for a two count, which I absolutely love. And I wish Rob was here, folks, because Mai Sakurai hits two Goodwin elbow drops, and these are the two best she's ever done. They were really, really good, and they got pops. They got big pops in Korakuen Hall. I thought that was great. However, Nagisa Nozaki pulls the ref out. Mirai comes in. She's all fired up. She lariats the world. Chiaki hits a big spear to Mai Sakurai. Mai Sakurai is able to come back with a big running Yakuza kick and then locks back in the STF to Chiaki. And Chiaki, I love it how she's only in it for just a few seconds before she taps out. 3 3/4 stars. Great match. Mai Sakurai looked like a million bucks here. And a great way to really elevate her up to the card now. Because now, my opinion, she's a main eventer in this company that is Marigold. Not only coming off this match, but obviously the main event that we have coming up here in just a few matches, which we'll talk about. And then again, of course, she's got that match with Julia coming up in just a few weeks. So, Mirai, Mai Sakurai, they advance to the finals of the tournament. And who will they take on? Will they take on everybody's pick? Chika Goto, Koki Amore, the Twin Towers, or will they take on the champions that are Miko Anno and Natsumi Shozuki? Folks, this was a bracket buster. And this was a bracket buster in a great way for a couple reasons, which we will get into. The Twin Towers, they come in on fire. Atomic drop, big boot combination. Eventually, though, Natsumi comes back in, and she is coming in. She's using that speed advantage, running double knees to one Koki Amore. Chiaki is able to get the advantage back with the giant swing to Natsumi Shozuki. Miko Anno hits a PK to Chika Goto. Natsumi Shozuki hits a running double knees to Chika Goto on the floor, which is, oh, man, we saw that. We saw that at Summer Destiny. Miko Anno hits a missile dropkick to Chiaki. Eventually, the Twin Towers get the advantage back, and they hit that double reverse gorilla press to Miko Anno. Again, poor Miko Anno taking that large face bump. I mentioned a little bit ago, they're tough folks. They are. Koki Amore goes to finish off Miko Anno, but she misses the Amorphous Butterfly Splash. Chika Goto is able to stop the onslaught of Miko Anno, hitting a big choke slam onto Miko Anno. Natsumi Shozuki, she comes in and chops the life out of Chika Goto. And then we get some chops and kicks from Natsumi and Miko. And the crowd is rallying behind Chika Goto. They're chanting, go, go, Chika. Go, go, Chika. Or go, to, go, to. So we have Miko Anno, Natsumi Shozuki, who not only are great, but they are over as baby faces. But they're cheering on Chika Goto because she's taking a great ass kicking and doing a great sell job. So you're just like, we have another wrinkle in the game that is Chika Goto. That is ultimately going to help out this tag team of the Twin Towers. I really like that. Samatos to Chika Goto as well. Miko Anno hits a sliding lariat to Chika Goto for a two count. Again, now at this point, the go-go Chika chants are really, really heavy. However, Miko Anno is able to just keep on the pressure on Chika Goto. Hits a huge buzzsaw kick while Natsumi Shozuki is able to keep Koki Amore out of the ring long enough for a three count. Four stars here. I know myself and Rob both had the Twin Towers winning the entire tournament. We thought that's the way it was going to go about a month ago. So nobody really saw this coming, but I'm like, oh, it makes sense because of just how great Miko Anno and Natsumi Shozuki are. Where maybe Koki Amore and Chika Goto aren't ready just yet for a big main event in Korakuen Hall. However, they are crazy over. Everybody in the show was over. Nobody on the show got more over than Kokiyamare and Chika Goto. Especially Chika Goto taking that ass-kicking at the end, the way she was selling. She did nothing but just take bomb after bomb after bomb from these two champions. And again, probably my new favorite tag team in all of wrestling. And it was the sell job and the sympathy that she did, and the fact that Kokiyamare basically had to carry her out of the ring, and Chika Goto was so heartbroken that they not only did not win, they didn't even make it to the finals. And she showed that emotion. Everybody in Cork and Hall gave her the standing ovation and was chanting her name. Folks, let me tell you something. Even though they didn't get the main event in Cork and Hall, even though they didn't walk out as the tag champs, that's a big win. Getting your name chanted after a loss in the legendary Cork and Hall, that's huge. That's huge, and that raises the stock up of this team, especially Chika Goto. So good on them. Super excited to see where this goes. Eventually, in my opinion, these two women will be the tag team champions. And once they decide to pull that trigger, once they think that Mai Sakurai and Mirai are at the end of their run, and that these two ladies, the Twin Towers, are ready for the tag belts, you got to do it in Cork and Hall. You got to do it in Cork and Hall. They're ready for it. They are so ready for it. Build it up properly, which Rossi's going to do. He'll give it time to breathe. And do it in Cork and Hall. That pop is going to be amazing. Absolutely amazing. Speaking of amazing, match number 5, Bozilla and Nananai Takahashi. We made mention that is going to be taking some time off. She's only going to be doing spot shows here or there as she's trying to rest up her body here. Boy, howdy, folks. This was something. I don't have many notes here just because it was just a fight. Big lockup to start. We get a tackle trade-off, and then we get this insane brawl over Cork and Hall. Now Ishikawa, she tries to get involved. These forearms that she throws to Bozilla. Folks, let me tell you something. If you're a pro wrestler, or you're thinking about getting into pro wrestling, or if you're training for pro wrestling, first of all, have fun, enjoy, work your ass off, make your dreams come true. Second of all, if you are doing strikes to somebody that is bigger or stronger than you, watch these forearms that now Ishikawa throws. Obviously, Bozilla doesn't sell them, and she shouldn't, right? That's her gimmick. But the way that now Ishikawa fires all the way back and gets her hips and all of her body weight into these forearms, that's exactly how they should be thrown. That's exactly because the visual of her, and again, now Ishikawa is one of the smaller wrestlers on the roster. Bozilla is easily the biggest and most intimidating. So that's the story that you're trying to tell, is she's just trying to throw these forearms, and how she fires back and fires on Bozilla is absolutely perfect. These are some of the best forearms thrown for the entire show, and they weren't even sold. Again, they shouldn't have been, right? They shouldn't have been. But again, go back and watch how now Ishikawa throws these forearms under the bigger Bozilla. It's absolutely perfect. That's the way it needs to get done. Bozilla throws Nanae into a roll of chairs. Back in the ring we go. We get a chop exchange and then a lariat off. Bozilla then blocks a big bot backdrop that Nanae likes to use. Bozilla then clubs Nanae Takahashi, Vader style. Again, Bozilla reminds me of a one Big Van Vader, which is a big compliment. Nanae is able to eventually hit a big backdrop suplex for a two count. Bozilla eventually fires back up. She tries to go to the top rope. Nanae has hit a superplex onto Bozilla. We get Bozilla fires back up with a fighting spirit lariat. Nanae tries to sneak one here with a ghetto clutch for a two count. Eventually, Bozilla goes to the sleeper, not once, but twice. And again, very much like the STF from Mai Sakurai in the earlier match, once Bozilla has the choke locked in, it doesn't take long before the ref calls for the bell. Makes sense, folks. I understand sometimes you draw out submissions for certain things. However, if you don't have a submission, if they're not tapping out in 3 seconds, you really don't have it in. How many times have you watched an MMA fight where somebody, as soon as they get the choke in, they either tap out or go up? Because it only takes like a second. We always say it only takes 3 seconds to lose a match or win a match. Really, it only takes 1 second, because all you got to do is get a really good submission in, and that's it. The match is over. So this was great. 4.25 stars for me. We go, folks, to the co-main event. Sari and Julia taking on Victoria Yuzuki and Kazuna Tanaka. We get Yuzuki and Tanaka. They jump the aces here right from the get-go. They don't care about any pageantry. They don't care that Sari's the red belt champion. They don't care that Julia's leaving to go to WWE. They don't care. They're here to make a statement, and I really like that. However, Julia, she turns the beating around on poor Victoria Yuzuki, which we know they were going to. Victoria Yuzuki, I mentioned in the show before, And I'm going to mention here again, great fire. Really great fire here. Tanaka hits a series of drop kicks to Sari. Scores her a two count. Sari eventually comes back with a fisherman suplex to Tanaka for a two count. Tanaka then, her and Julia have a nice exchange, with Tanaka actually getting the better over the early exchange with Julia and is able to put Julia into an armbar. And then we get some great teamwork with Yuzuki and Tanaka. Again, I mentioned it at the Summer Destiny show, the first show they teamed up. Reminded me a lot of Stars. Of, you know, obviously Yuzuki was in Stars for a hot minute over in Stardom, and looked like she took a lot of what she learned from Mayu and Hazuki over there and is bringing it into her own with this tag team with Kazuna Tanaka. Julia gets really, she's had enough. No more playing games. No more playing games with the Dangerous Queen. She gets really fires up some stiff slaps for Vittoria Yuzuki. Vittoria Yuzuki basically says, D. Snyder, Twisted Sister, I'm not going to take it. I'm not going to take it anymore. Yuzuki fires back with some stiff slaps of her own. Yuzuki and Tanaka hit a double fisherman suplex to Julia. Yuzuki then dumps Julia on her head with a beautiful regalplex. Julia is able to eventually fire back up. We do see a top rope fight with Julia hitting a top rope butterfly suplex. Sari then after that follows that up with a top rope double stomp. Then we see Julia with a G-trigger. Sari with a dropkick. Julia with a backdrop suplex for a two count. Again, folks, listen to this combination of moves. Julia the top rope double underhook suplex. Sari with a double stomp. Julia G-trigger. Sari with the low insane dropkick. Julia then a backdrop that scored a two count. So really, really good stuff there. Sorry about that, folks. There's a little pause. If you case it here, a little pause there. A little run-in from my cat. So I didn't realize I left the door open because it is hot. Anywho, really great series of the moves with Julia and Sari. And I thought that was the finish of the match. I really did. I mean, you're hitting bomb after bomb after bomb on Yuzuki. And Yuzuki is able to kick out at a two count. I thought that was great. Eventually, Julia's like, okay, that's enough games. Goes for the Glorious Driver, one of her bread and butter holds. Yuzuki blocks the Glorious Driver, locks in the rolling arrow. And when she finishes the spins, the rotations, she's got Julia right in the middle of the ring, right in the middle of the marigold symbol. And Sari is blocked off. Kazuna Tanaka blocks off Sari. I thought that was great. That scored her a two count. Everyone bid on that one. Julia is able to come back with the Yakuza kick. She gets the Glorious Driver for a 2.9 count because Kazuna Tanaka breaks it up. Eventually, though, we do see Julia hits Yuzuki with the Northern Lights bomb the same time that Sari hits the Exploder on Tanaka for the three count. This was the match of the show. This is probably top three, four favorite tag matches in Marigold's short history. 4.5 stars. This was great. This was terrific. Sari is on an absolute tear. Rob and I will cover her match that they had with Sari and Natsupoi versus Takumi Roha and Izumi from Sariism. We'll talk about that on the Stardom cast next week, because I know Rob didn't get a chance to watch it. I just watched it last night. It's great. It was a great tag match. Sari is, she's one of the wrestlers of the year. To me, it's Ospreay, Danielson, Mayu, Sari, Micah. I think those are the top five wrestlers in wrestling so far as we're 7 months through this year. And she's terrific. Julia, she held nothing back. She's not coasting on her way to that big 6 to 7 figure contract she's getting with WWE. Tanaka and Victoria Yuzuki. Again, folks, it's not how you, it's not if you lose, it's how you lose. And very much like Chika Goto, even though that they ate the L here, they're a tag team to be reckoned with. They really are. I'm so excited for this tag division in Marigold. Folks, we go to the main event. Twin Star Tag League Final, Mirai and Mei Sakurai taking on Miko Ano and Natsumi Shoazuki. Soon as the bell rings, we get Ano and Mirai started. And all Cork and Hall, ooh and ah, because they've had four great matches. And again, Sunny and Stu, great job putting over how important this is. The fact that Mirai needs to get this monkey off her back because she's never been able to pin Miko Ano in the over 60 minutes that they have wrestled against each other. Eventually, Ano and Natsumi Shoazuki, they wrestle around. We get some tag outs. We get Ano and Natsumi Shoazuki with some great double team work, some great kick exchanges to Mai Sakurai. Mirai comes in. She's on fire. She hits a missile dropkick onto Miko Ano for a two count. Miko Ano is able to fire back with some strikes. It's a basement dropkick to Mirai. Mai Sakurai comes in. She hits a shining black to Natsumi Shoazuki and a showstopper. That scores her a two count. Mirai goes for the shining buster which is her version of the, not Mariah, excuse me, Mai Sakurai goes for the Shining Buster, which is her version of the Gourd Buster on the Natsumi Shozuki, but Natsumi is able to roll through for an inside cradle for a two count. The crowd bid on that for a finish, and we're like 4 minutes in, which I thought was great. Miko Anno hits a stiff back kick onto Mai Sakurai. We get a forearm trade-off with Sakurai and Anno, but Mai Sakurai hits a stiff slap onto Miko Anno and then is able to transition that into a drop toe hold into the Masahira Chonota STF. I thought that was great. We get some more great action. Miko Anno and Mirai, with Anno hitting a German suplex onto Mirai. Anno and Shozuki hit a powerbomb double stomp combination to Mirai. That was great. Miko Anno then is able to follow that up with a sliding lariat to Mirai. That scored her a two count. Eventually, all the strikes and everything takes everybody to the outside. Mai Sakurai takes advantage, hitting a high crossbody off the post to the floor. Again, Mai Sakurai ever so impressive. Mirai hits the Mir Mirai shock to Miko Anno for a two count. Mirai needs that win over Anno so bad. You can feel it in this match. Mai Sakurai hits, again, another good win elbow drop to Miko Anno for a two count. Mirai goes for a lariat to Miko Anno, but it gets blocked into the Styles Clash. Styles Clash gets broken up on the two count. Mirai and Mai Sakurai hit a lariat Yakuza kick sandwich to Miko Anno. Mirai then hits a pair of lariats to Miko Anno for a two count. She can't put away Miko Anno. She fires up just at the right time, just when the crowd psychology is there. She knows this is the tipping point, the top part of the match. Mai Sakurai is able to hold off Natsumi Shozuki, and Mirai, to borrow a quote from Steel Fulton, releases the Kraken, hits an insane lariat on Miko Anno for the three count, 4.5 stars for me. This was absolutely terrific. You know, now that I think about it, I made mention that how much the Julia Sari versus Yuzuki versus Tanaka match. I had both these matches at 4.5 stars. I don't know what match I like better. I really don't. Obviously, this match here is going to be remembered more because the main event, Cork and Hall, first ever tag team champions. Man, different. To end this show on 2 4.5 star matches. And not only that, but the Bozilla match before was 4.25 stars. And then the Twin Towers versus Anno and Shozuki was 4 stars. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 matches. Really, your last 5 matches on this show, all 4 stars to 4.5 stars. Just goes to show you how great this show was. Again, this show was absolutely terrific. Terrific. And again, if you watch both shows, both Stardom and Marigold, and you listen to the you listen to the Stardom cast just earlier this week, you know that for the first time, for the first time since I was about 7 or 8 years old, I was really negative towards a wrestling company. Obviously, I wrapped it up with a nice bow with how a lot of Stardom does have a lot of positive things going on. But I still had a bad taste in my mouth from that show on Sunday. And I didn't watch a full wrestling show until this one. Whatever bad taste was left in my mouth from that, whether it wasn't the show, it was the angle, because both those Stardom shows were great. Even Micah versus Natsuko Tora. Again, I gave it 4.5 stars. I loved the match. Just hated the angle. Whatever bad taste I had left in my mouth was completely washed out by this great match, especially these last 3 or 4 matches. I thought it was absolutely terrific. Again, I love the fact that Chika Goto is a made star coming off a loss, not even making it to the finals. Miko Anno and Natsumi Shozuki, again, my new favorite tag team in all of wrestling. Maybe for a what if, we'll fantasy book them all over the territory. Stardom, NXT, AEW, anywhere, because these two are terrific together. Absolutely love Miko Anno and Natsumi Shozuki. And again, obviously, they're champions in separate singles divisions. But on these quote-unquote, you know, house shows, Wrestle Universe shows, I would love to see these two team up more. I thought these two were absolutely terrific here. I really, really did. These two were great. Loved this match. Thought there was a lot of really, really good stuff here. And show was terrific. This show was terrific. So, again, folks, great show. This was a terrific show from folks over at Marigold. It's a great way to crown your first tag team champions. And folks, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. That'll put a bow in it. And again, apologize. This was literally last minute that we decided that I was going to do this solo. Hope everybody enjoyed it. Apologies, I believe Rob will probably be back with me next week. He's going to be back with me. We got a busy August, folks. We got a busy August between everything going on with Marigold, with Julia leaving Marigold, and then, of course, with the five-star Grand Prix. Factor in a lot of stuff we have going on Patreon. You factor in a lot of stuff that we have going on as far as releasing stuff from the vault, which I know we didn't get to in July, but we're going to release some stuff there, and then some bonus content that we're releasing to everybody on the free feed. So, yeah, super exciting stuff going on with us here at the StardomCast / Marigold Standard. So, folks, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. Questions, comments, anything that you need from me, Matt Turner OF, on the Instagram and or the Twitter is the best way to get a hold of me. If you want to shoot me an email, that's perfectly fine as well. TheStardomCast22@gmail.com is the best way to get a hold of me via the email systems. And folks, that's going to wrap it up for this episode. We greatly appreciate your support. Can't do without you. If you're not done so yet, head over to Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review and a comment. Really helps get the algorithm out that helps grow this podcast and then helps grow the fantastic professional wrestling companies that are Marigold and Stardom. So, yeah, that's going to wrap it up for this episode, folks. Appreciate your support. Can't do without you. It's like I always say, it's just not my podcast. It's our podcast. Because we're all together, everyone's different, everyone's special.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit DiscoverSouthCarolina.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.